.com. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. First hour, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry and it's Joel, and we are coming to you live from the Hit King Baseball Academy Gala and Golf Tournament. We are privileged enough to be joined now by a seven-time All-Star, MVP of the 67 All-Star Game. Not only a member of the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame in 1998, but he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown in 2000. Tony Perez. Tony, a great pleasure and an honor to have you again for the second year in a row joining our show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here this year, and I really enjoy coming here and see a lot of people who trying to help the kids to be a better ball player and learn how to play the game.
And you know, and we talk about the camaraderie, you and Pete, George Foster, the Big Red Machine. To me, the neatest thing is, you know, in today's day and age, you hear about teammates, but they're not, they don't have that bond. When they get traded or they move on, free agency or what otherwise, it doesn't seem to have that same kind of connection. You guys still look like you were just sitting in the locker room shooting the bull. That's got to be a fantastic feeling to know that your brotherhood with that team is always going to be not only in baseball history, but just in friendship.
Well, that's great, man. You know, when we get together, we start talking about the past, how the way we play, the way, you know, how about the other guys. And it's really, like you said, right now the players are not, you know, be like we used to be. Be
that
close
chemistry.
To each other and, you know, and call each other. And now they do like texting a lot. You
right,
know,
right.
I text the guy, but never talk.
You and Pete don't text?
No, we talk. We call each other. we just call and talk, you know, because you want to talk about a lot of things. Text, you have to do it maybe three or four words, and that's it.
Yeah. Now, back in the day, you guys used to hang out, like, after games and drink beer in the clubhouse and watch TV and stuff like that. They don't do that anymore nowadays either, do they?
No, they don't do much of that because most of the clubhouse don't have a lot of beer for the players now.
Which is disappointing.
Right,
but, yeah.
Right. Maybe the coaches and the manager have a beer, but not even some clubhouse do. But not for the player. The player had to go out and drink and get in trouble. But we used to stick around after the game, talk about the game we play, and talk about, you know, we get on each guy. Yeah, if you don't play good, you make an error, you make a mental mistake, or we get on you. Yeah. And that's why we do, and then drink beer. Pete stick around, but he never drink. Pete never drink, and he stick around with us.
Nice. He didn't drink. I didn't know that. I got a question for you because you manage, too. You manage for the Reds. You manage for the Marlins. You've been around the game your whole life. Where are you on the analytics, these shifts, putting everybody on one side of the infield, all the different things where the front office is coming down and saying, this is the statistics and the numbers that state play this guy this way. And a lot, there's some guys still that play the game today that have a different perspective. They don't like that. If you're a pitcher and they decided to hit it away from the shift, you can see some guys pretty frustrated.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, they used to do it a little bit in my time because I was part of that. Dave Bristol, the manager in the late 60s, he moved me one time to left field because Willie McCovey was a hitter. And he won four outfielders, you know, because he don't hit the ball on the ground too much. But he was lucky because that Willie, he won to left field, and I almost, you know, I go around and grab it, but, you know, that was a bad experience for me. I don't like
Did
that.
Did you have the first baseman's mitt on? Or?
No, I got a glove.
Okay,
that's
okay.
The problem.
Okay.
So you never took fly balls in left field
yeah,
before?
Yeah, I need something big. I need a large glove.
A basket, huh?
Yeah, I know, but they do that. They Bristol used to do that, put four infielders on the one time I was playing second base because they moved me from third to second. Like that, but not like they do it now.
Yeah.
Every game you watch now, somebody do the switch, and players, they tried that one with me in Philadelphia, and because they say I always get the hit over second base, they put the second base one behind second base and let the thing up. And the first two times with no man on base, I don't try to hit a hit. I don't. I try to, you know, to go punch forward it. And hit a home run, you know, to left field. But the third or the fourth time, I don't recall, the base was loaded. And they do the same thing. I hit a ground ball to second base. I drove it 2 runs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, you're born
and in Cuba. And they stop.
I bet they would.
Do you keep up with a lot of the Cuban-born players, like Yuli Gurriel of the Astros? Do you try to – is there that special camaraderie that you have being a Cuban baseball player? Do you kind of follow them at all?
Yeah, I follow them. I used to – I spent 23 years with the Marlins, mm-hmm. and I was at the ballpark and home all the time. And every time they came in, you know, I say hello to their Puig and all those guys, all the Cuban guys, the guy Soler, the one with their, he was with Arizona and all that. So, yeah, I keep in touch with all the guys, and I want to say hello to everyone, you know, the guys I know. But, yeah, I stick around with them.
You watched the development of this Astros team, culminating with the World Series. But
yes.
Did it make you feel good about the fact that it wasn't done so much with free agency and trying to bring names after they'd already established themselves? But they were bad for a while, but they valued draft picks, and they groomed their players. Yep. And to see the complete maturation to the point where they got the ultimate prize?
The Astros doing a great job. I remember, you know, like when they started with all those guys, they started rebuilding the team. And they were, like you said, they were bare once. I remember when my son Eduardo came here,
yeah.
when they started rebuilding, and we were talking to him. I followed the Astros then because my son was there.
Sure, he was.
And
coach.
Then I see how they progress, and I put a great team together with all those guys, and I see the Correa guys, the Altuve, and all those guys doing the job they're doing. That's great. They put a good team together.
Who is your favorite player to watch? I mean, do you have a guy that, like, for me? Disappointingly enough, it was Robinson Cano. He's a guy I always love to watch play second base. Who's the guy that you just, if he's on TV, even if you're not interested in the team or the game, you want to watch that player?
Well, I not really watch one guy. I watch every night. I watch baseball.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got the thing, and I, you know, for I watch the thing who I play better. The one they find, they close to the first place. And
uh-huh.
I just watch the Astros a lot because they are trying to win.
Yeah.
And that's the guy. But I don't – maybe the guy on the bottom, I don't watch him. I don't watch him. But, you know, the guy like Correa and those guys, the guys I knew from Puerto Rico,
uh-huh.
I'm watching those guys. And now I got to go and watch the Yankees because Stanton – Jellies in Milwaukee, Ozuna's in St. Louis. Those guys I was you know, around and trying to help him in Miami.
I got to ask you before we let you go, all this controversy now, the Astros pitching staff is obviously fantastic. Now
great.
People are starting to talk about pine tar and spin rate and the, you know, these guys overachieving. But at the end of the day, as a hitter, as a Hall of Fame hitter, I mean, everybody's trying to find that advantage. But is there any – put any credence in the fact that these guys are using pine tar and stuff, and all of a sudden their spin rate is going to affect their pitching that much?
Oh, I don't believe it. I mean, that's an excuse. Maybe one player come up and say, hey, this guy using a pine tar, I see a ball or whatever. That's a bad excuse. I don't think no matter if the ball is a little dark, you can still hit it if you keep your eyes on it. But No, they got a good stuff. Those guys can pitch, and that's what they're doing a great job. Who's going to say Verlander is doing
cheating?
He's a pitcher.
Yeah, you know, no doubt about it.
He's going to get you out.
Yeah. And finally, obviously, your man Pete, and we know that gambling is becoming legal across the country, but your feelings on the fact that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. I always say that. Pete belongs in the Hall of Fame. He's in my Hall of Fame. I always say that. If they don't want him in baseball, please let him go on the voting for the Hall of Fame, and he will be there. That's what I can say.
Yeah. Well, you're a class act, sir. We appreciate you spending some time with us again. Tony Perez in town for the Hit King Baseball Academy Gala and Golf Tournament. Again, if you want any information on that, check out hitkingbaseball.com. But always a pleasure to have you on the show. Safe travels and always welcome back.
Thank you, though.
Thanks for being here.
That was Tony Perez, guys. Right. Hall of Famer. That's fantastic stuff.